But I want to get into the message this morning. We've been in a series called I Am. And it's been the series in the book of John, the Gospel of John, where we've been talking about those statements that Jesus has made in revealing his Godhood to us, revealing his deity and exactly who he is. At this point in time, we have Jesus who's coming to the end of his ministry. And he's finally just got to the point, says, I'm going to tell you who I am. Jesus is calling out and telling us who he is. We started off with Jesus telling us that he is the bread of life. He followed that up with saying that he is the light of the world. Then we came into the fact where he said he was then the entrance, the way in, that he was the good shepherd. And we're finally getting to a point where he's talking about and giving us the immensity of who he is and stating things that he has not stated before, stating things that in that way he is very controversial. Did you know that Jesus is controversial? Not only is he controversial now, he was controversial back then. And we have a hard time understanding how Jesus is so controversial. It's like, well, he started out that way. He went that way through his ministry. He ended that way. So why would we not think it would continue? Because if Jesus can't be controversial by him saying the words, how are we supposed to think that we can be non-controversial? But Jesus is coming up and he's letting out words. And there's many statements that he's made to those around him. And we can usually find a few statements or something that Jesus has uttered. We can find those statements or we have our favorite statements. Don't we have our favorite statements sometimes that Jesus says? I know I have some favorites. I love everything he says, right? But there's certain things that stand out in my life that I hold on to harder than others. And usually people have those. They pick out a few that they really, really remember. Something that's really special or has special meaning to us. And I wanted to know some of those, statements. I'm like, okay, so I went to the great Google engine that is their part of the internet, and I put a search in, right? Google's never wrong, are they? Come on. So I put in I'm getting a laugh out of that one. So I put in the search, and it said the great statements that Jesus made that people remember. And it came back with quite a few of them. And there's a lot of them that were, there's a few of them that really hit the top 10 list that came into that. So that things that Jesus has said that really gets people's attention. One of those is that, for God so loved the world. You remember that one? Right? For God so loved the world. We know that one. How about love your neighbor as yourself? We know that one, darn right? How about the next one where I looked at it, it says, do to others as they would, all right? Oh, as you would, yeah. Do to others as you would have them do unto you, right? So you're supposed to, all right. How about love your Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? These are kind of like the top five that came in there. But there was one on list that was consistently there all the time. Didn't matter what list it was. It was consistently there of a statement that Jesus made that people really remember. And it's the one that we're going to look into this morning, the next I Am statement that Jesus made to those around him. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning or your app or whatever you want to use, I want you to turn to the book of John. We're going to continue in the book of John, and I want you to put your thumb over to chapter 14. Because it's in 14 where we're going to find that next great statement that Jesus made to those around him. And this statement, we'll get into it a little bit, because we're going to find some things out in this statement. If you're there at chapter 14, just run your finger down to verse 6. And we're going to start with the first part of that, where it says, 14:6, I am the way, and the truth and the life. Do you remember that one? Remember that statement? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Because people have pretty much, I mean, even people outside the church have heard this on occasions, or probably at least had an opportunity to hear this and might recognize it as at least of where it came from, that it belongs to the church. And some like what Jesus is saying here, but others, well, they tend to hesitate, or they just, well, outright refuse to give weight to what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And I look at the statement that he's saying here, and I wonder if their hearts, if they don't want to believe it, if they don't want to accept it in their life, if their hearts are hardened by this particular part of his phrase, or whether it's hardened by the next part that comes, where he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder why their hearts are hardened. Because we know that people get hardened hearts just from hearing the message of Jesus. Jesus talks about it quite, you know, prevalently in the parable of the sower, where they throw the seeds down, the birds come and they eat up. That's like the devil just taking away the message right away, right? So their hearts are immediately hardened. And Jesus is talking about how he is the way, the truth, and life, when that no one comes to the Father except through him. I want you to think about what he's saying here for just a moment. Truly think about what he's telling people. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why do we think that upsets so many people? Why do we think that, you know, those that are turned off from his message are turned off? And the thing that I came up with, the notion in my head that I really came up with is like, we all like having options. And this leaves no other option. Don't you like having an option? I like having options. When I do things, I like to have an option of what I'm going to do. When I go out to buy something, I like to have an option of what I'm going to buy. There are people that live on, thriving on the fact that we have options. My wife is not here right now, otherwise she would yell at me for telling you this, but she loves to shop. I didn't say she loves to buy, I said she loves to shop. Two different things, right? But she will go, and she will journey from store to store to store to store looking for that best opportunity to buy something or the best option. That's the way she shops. I don't like shopping. Well, not that way. I like to do my shopping on the internet. It's the same thing. I like to give it a manly gusto, you know, in there, and I call it research, but it's still shopping. Because we look at the things that we want to buy, we'll go on there and we'll start looking, we'll look for the best opportunity, the best price, whether it's got, you know, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever, however it looks, right? We do those things because we like having options. We like to know that when we're getting into something that this is not the last thing. When you go out to eat, you and your wife go on a date, you know. I tell my wife I don't date anymore. I just go out to eat with her. Dating's too hard of work. I don't date. Right? Some of you guys, I see the guys at least in here. Some of you are giving me the shake of the head because you know that's a stern look that you're going to have to explain that later, and I'm sorry for that. But my wife, we go out to eat, and we decide, okay, let's go out to eat, honey. I said, sure, where would you like to go? What's the response you usually get? I don't care where you want to go. Right? But we all like having the option of having a different place to go. That's the point is. And I think that's one thing that Jesus really takes away is the fact that there's no other option. And it really turns off a lot of people in their hearts because there's no other way. The world likes to thrive on the idea that there's many ways to God. Are there many ways to God? No, there's not. I like to tell people, well, there's many ways to get to Jesus. From Jesus to the Father, there's only one way, and that's through Him. We can all have a different journey in life, right? But when we come to Jesus, we learned here recently that He keeps the entrance. And that's the way Jesus is. And that's what it's talking about here. Because Jesus takes away from us the options. We tend to not like that. We really do. Especially if we don't understand it. To look at it fully and what He's saying. And this isn't the first time that Jesus told people that there's no other way. We just spoke of it. Jesus says, "And hey, I am the gate, I am the door, I am the entrance," right? We talked about it in His last statement, chapter 10, verse 9, where He says that, "I am the gate." So it's not the first time that Jesus has uttered the fact that He's the only way to do something. And He explained it very clearly in there when He talked about how the sheep operate and how the pen operates and how He is the good shepherd and how He operates. He explained all that clearly. He tried to explain it, in fact, in a way that we would understand and the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have a grasp on even at the time. We have the benefit of having the Bible, so we get to, you know, that all that stuff kind of revealed to us. So we can understand it, well, better than even at that time. But we always like to have options. Perhaps over these past few weeks we've heard and hopefully learned what He was talking about in the way He was to help us in making our choice and following Jesus. Because folks, you have a choice. We all have a choice. The entire world has a choice. You always have choices until you don't. It's kind of like when something's on sale and it's my choice to go buy it or not. And the next thing I look around and it's no longer on sale. My choice has been taken away. Now, that's a very minimal explanation to what Jesus is saying. It's not even one that just rates on the same scale as what Jesus is telling us. But everybody has an option until you don't. At some point in time in life, your option to follow Jesus will go away. It's another thing people don't want to hear. People don't want to hear that their options go away. That the choice is sometimes made for them. We need to understand that our opportunity to follow Jesus is there. And it is His desire for us to choose sooner rather than later. And sometimes we don't. But Jesus didn't stop there when He said He was just the way. He didn't stop there. And that's probably not everything that encompasses why people get upset by this particular way Jesus is explaining things. Because after stating that He was the way, Jesus followed up to encompass everything that He was bringing to the table. And He was bringing a significant amount of things to the table because Jesus uttered two other things beyond that. Because not only was Jesus the way, but He also said that He was what? He is the truth and the life. I look at that statement about being in truth and I find that it brings up a particular place in the Bible that the word truth is used. And this particular point comes when Jesus is before Pontius Pilate. And Jesus utters, or not Jesus, but Pontius utters out to people, "What is truth?" You remember that place? If you guys want a reminder of that or to refresh yourself, you can look back in John chapter 18 and you can look what Jesus is going through, where Pontius says, "What is truth?" And this is right after Jesus had said to him, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." He told that to Pontius, trying to get him to recognize and understanding that Jesus was bringing truth to the table. And Pontius said, or asked, "What is truth?" We had a little meeting this morning right here in the sanctuary, and we were talking about truth and how generally people enjoy knowing the truth. Most of the time, people enjoy knowing the truth. In fact, they want to know the truth about things most of the time. We enjoy living and knowing things are the way they are. That we can plan our lives and have certain expectations about what we're doing and how we're operating in our everyday life because we know the truth of what's going to happen. Don't you like that? Don't you like knowing that, hey, if I'm going to go to work today, that, you know, I'm going to get paid for it? Or that if I'm going to go to the grocery store, that I'm going to have something there? Or that if I'm going to go out to my car, that it's going to start? Don't you like at least knowing those truths? I enjoy knowing the truth. People in general enjoy knowing the truth until it starts going against what you want for the truth. And then you don't enjoy it so much. We like the truth to a point until it goes against what we want. There's a world that lives on that. A world that likes to substitute their own reality in place of what is truth. And we are very much a part of that some days, that we would substitute our own reality in place of what is truth and what actually is happening and what actually needs to go on. You know, Pilate asked that question, and it was a question that Jesus had already answered. He answered it just before Pilate asked it. And he answered it even back in chapter 17, where Jesus uttered out that we were to be sanctified by the truth. He says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." That the word is truth. That what we read, that what we get from God, that what we know, that what's in these pages is truth, right? We can go to a certain point and have an anchor in a world which would blow us from one side to the other. You can have truth in an anchor. And everybody loves this truth, don't you? Well, you say and you shake your head yes and stuff. And I don't mean to be mean here, but it's just the fact that I look at it and go, there's some things in here that when it goes against me, I don't like it. I don't like the fact that it points out to me that I'm doing this wrong or I'm living incorrectly. I point my finger at myself, not anybody else. But I can't help to think that if I'm thinking that way, then there's probably a lot smarter and wiser people than me that are looking at that before I even got the revelation of it, to say I need to live according to the truth and God's truth, and Jesus is that truth. Because our God is a God of justice. He says that when we sanctify ourselves through the word of truth, that it cleanses us. It cleanses us internally, right? That it comes through and it transforms us. It transforms our soul from what it was into what Jesus wants it to be. That we are cleaned from the inside out. And that we would start showing it sooner or later on the outside, because what's inside of us comes out. What we put into ourselves comes out, right? The tongue has the power of life and death. We have the power of life and death inside of us. And there's a saying that I like to go by, that I learned as a kid, that sometimes the tail wags the dog. Meaning that sometimes what we utter is controlling our lives instead of the other way around. That we're not basing our life upon the truth that Jesus has for us. We're basing our life upon the truth that we would want. But Jesus is the one that stands there and cleanses our lives, and he bestows knowledge upon us. He bestows wisdom upon us. And I like to live under an idea, and maybe it's foolish for me to live under this idea, but I love to live under the idea where I want people to believe in justice. People usually like justice until justice is applied to them. People usually like, well, you're driving your car and you have a speed limit, right? Somebody goes by you, just racing by you. Aren't you a little annoyed about that? So they need to drive the speed limit. Then the next day you're driving on that same street, and all of a sudden you see these little lights behind you. And you get pulled over. And then you get yourself a little reminder. You don't like the justice so much then, do you? This is the way it is with Jesus and the justice of God. Everybody likes the justice that God has until he applies it to ourselves. And that's called sin, folks. Sin means that justice needs to be applied to us. And he has the same justice for everybody. And whether you think it is or not, the justice of God is applied fairly and evenly across the board. You don't always live under our time scheme. What it means that justice delayed is not necessarily justice denied. That justice comes around to everybody sooner or later. That you will answer for the things that you've done or have not done in your life. And this sin, this justice, is the part that would keep us out of heaven. That would keep us away from a Father in heaven. Because of the way we live and we think. That's what it does. And that's the truth of it. And that's why people don't necessarily like the truth that Jesus brings. They don't like that part. Because we cannot come into the presence of God in the fallen state in which we are in, which brings us to this third part that Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus says, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus came and he provided us a way out of the truth of justice that we live under and to the new life that we now have in Jesus and knowing that we have a place where we are welcomed in heaven. And this is made available to everybody. Jesus gives us life. You know, I look sometimes at the Greek and Hebrew words of the Bible so I can better understand what is being said to me. I don't know if you guys have that same thing that you do sometimes, that you look up these root words because sometimes they're very special. They mean something very different in Greek and Hebrew than what it does in the English language. And I looked up the word life that Jesus was uttering in statement, and the Greek word for that is zoe. And zoe actually means that life he's talking about is real and genuine and a life active and vigorous, devoted to God. A life that's blessed, and the portion even this world is blessed of those who put their trust in Christ, both now and in the afterlife. And that afterlife even talks about the fact that you will be given a new body. You will be given a new experience. You'll be given new life. And it will last forever. You know, everyone has the desire to have a good life, to have a fulfilling life. But my question is, what is a fulfilling life? Is my life, a fulfilling my life, the same as yours? Is your husband and wife, is your life together, your fulfilling life, the same as your spouse? What is a fulfilling life? And this is the essential part of the statement that he's making, because nobody truly understands what this life, this fulfilling life is outside of Jesus. Because this life can be drowned out by the machinations of every part of distractions that we have in the world. And we have a lot of distractions. Did you, for those of you that were without power for an extended period of time, did you find yourself missing some things? I see some heads shaking no, and I'm very happy about that. But I found myself missing some things that were nothing more than just distractions. I look at the children that were hanging around and trying to play outside and so on and so forth, that they were crying because they didn't have their tablets, they didn't have their phones, they didn't have those video games, they didn't have the television, they didn't have all those things that seemed to just take so much time of our life. We know about this, we've talked about it before. It's a recurring theme. But it was laid evident to me by being without electricity for an extended period of time. And sorry to say, sometimes I look as we got power back, that some of those things have seeped their way back into my life. But I hope that I stay aware of it and not let them to overcome that fact. That's a fulfilling life. A fulfilling life is one that's dedicated to God and who He is and what He has for you. That's a fulfilling life because when you comes right down to it, that's what fills that hole inside of you, that you know that whatever you're doing is leading somewhere, is leading to the place that you can only get there through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And in this, that Jesus confirmed His identity as the Word of God. He confirmed it. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, John starts it by saying what? It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word. He was there in the beginning, at the beginning of creation. And that means He's the truth, because the Word of God is truth. We cannot find absolute truth anywhere else. Jesus came, He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, full of grace and full of truth. And He came here and He cemented that He was sent here for us. Do you believe that Jesus was sent here for you? Do you believe Jesus was sent here for you? He was. Jesus came to give us an opportunity at life. A life here, and a life in heaven. Now, the things I've said here this morning are, well, they're not very popular. And I would dare say that if there were those outside that we had busy streets came in here and heard me saying those things, I'd be having a time of discussion afterwards. And I'm okay with that, because I want them to have life. And I want all of you to have life. And I want you to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is the way. He's the truth that you can cement your life on. A foundation does not shift back and forth. A foundation that is not like a rug that can be just swiped out from underneath your feet, throwing you off balance. When we root our existence in Jesus, we stand somewhere that is so solid that even though the rest of the building may shake and quake and go back and forth, the foundation is still there. And we can always build off of it. It will not disappear. It will not change on us. But we have to understand that Jesus is the only one who can and does bring this. He brings the truth with him, and we need to realize it. God's desire is that his unique creations, those of us, all of us that are made in his image, would not have life without him. That we would always truly have Jesus and our Father in heaven, right? And we need to understand that in his statement, he was revealing to everybody exactly the truth. He was showing them the way, and he wanted to bring them life so desperately. So as we go out, as we continue this day and we worship the Lord, I want you to look at this as a point of celebration. I want you to look at this as a point of excitement. I want you to look at this as a point that you have this knowledge already with you. All we have to do is live it. All we have to do is make it part of every day of our life, that you can live in Jesus' way and that you would have truth, and that means you have life. It's a realization. It's a realization for you, and it's a realization for each and every person that you come in contact with. And if you know people out in this world that don't have this knowledge, they don't have this understanding, what an opportunity for you to reveal it to them. And I would dare say, if there's even some out in the world that would call themselves a Christian, that know who Jesus is, but you look at him and go, well, you have not surrendered to him, it's an opportunity for you to do the same thing there. We all live in the umbrella of care that Jesus gives us, because he is the way, the truth, and what else? The life. So I want to stand up and I want to continue to celebrate today, because today is truly a celebration. I can't say it enough. It's a celebration, because we're talking about life now and even life later. And that's the journey we take with Jesus. Okay? So let's stand up together and let's just sing, and we'll worship the Lord, and we'll go out and we'll just be a family of unity, of one heart, of one mind, and one thought.